The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
The apostles gathered together with Jesus and reported all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." People were coming and going in great numbers, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So they went off in a boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many came to know about it. They hastened there on foot from all the towns around and arrived in the place before them. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. The Gospel of the Lord. You may remember that last week we were in the Gospel of Mark, and Jesus sent out his disciples two by two to preach, to heal, and to drive out demons. And now we have a sequence of that in today's reading coming from Mark chapter 6, where they come back full of stories, full of triumph, full of power, all the things, driving out demons, healing people. And Jesus says, "Come aside by yourselves and rest a while." If you don't come aside and rest a while, you will not understand what your mission was about. And that speaks to us about the notion of Sabbath. So I'd like to dedicate this homiletic time for a discussion about the meaning of Sabbath in our lives. What does it mean that we speak about observing the Sabbath day? Look at your Bibles, and the very beginning of your Bible, the first chapter of the book of Genesis, begins this way. When God was creating the heavens and the earth was a formless wasteland, and darkness covered the abyss, and a mighty wind over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And then goes on to the 7 days of creation. And on the seventh day, God rested. The Jewish people say he created menucha, which is rest. Rest is an act of creation. Now, if you read the second chapter of Genesis, slightly different story about the creation of the person. It's a myth. It's not meant to be taken literally. It's a story, and the story wants to tell us that God is the origin, the creator of all things. And that if you don't rest on the seventh day, you will not understand the other six. It's not in conflict with science. Science speaks to us about the Big Bang 13 billion years ago. But go back to Thomas Aquinas, and he will say, "But where did the energy come for the Big Bang?" And you have to go back reasonably in philosophy and discuss, where is the first energy coming from, the first mover? And there you get to God, or whomever you call God. So there we have the beginning of God's revelation speaking to us about the necessity to rest on the seventh day. And it's not a day. Sabbath is not a day. Sabbath is a way of life. And reading the story of creation, which is not historically true, but theologically revealing, It's meant to teach us, not in a literal sense, but in a theological sense. When you read that, you come to the conclusion we belong to creation. We are part of creation. We belong to the cosmos. We belong to all of creation. We are part of the creating God. We have cycles. We have seasons in our lives. We're born, we die, we go back into the earth. We have circadian rhythms. Your physician will talk to you about observing a circadian rhythm, which means the sun comes up in the morning and announces a new day, a new life, an invitation to celebrate the wonder of life. The birds begin to sing, the garden comes alive, the flowers begin to bloom, and we are called to celebrate the energy of a new day, your physician will tell you. And then to journey through the day, to bless, to share, to belong. And then you come to the evening, and in the evening you rest. And if you don't follow this circadian rhythm, your doctor will tell you you shouldn't work 80 hours a week, you shouldn't be so distracted. But tell me about the culture and the society in which we live. We reward people to work 80 hours a week. We celebrate people who can live on 4 hours of sleep. I mean, we are dysfunctional. And our whole culture, our whole economy is based on dissatisfaction. You need another hat. You need to get in style. You need a new car, this one, but it's not very old, but you need a new one. Because all the advertising, everything says that you need, you need, you need. Because we don't stop and observe the Sabbath. Look at the manner in which we live, the culture in which we live. We're so conflicted. We're so consumed by success. So impressed by people who have money. We're not looking at the Sabbath. And think about not only the person that works 80 hours a week and becomes chairman of the board, but loses the intimacy of his marriage and overlooks or misses the most sacred, unrepeatable moments in the life of the child. Could be a man, could be a woman, whoever it is. Where does the Sabbath come in? Talk about our distractions. We live in a world of distractions. We have to tell you at the beginning of Mass to turn off your iPhone, because we're all slaves to the iPhone. We're all slaves to a world of technology. We're dependent on it. We're enslaved. Could you spend a whole day without the phone? It's a big issue. If I don't have my phone, my right arm is gone. Something is missing here, which means you makes you available 24/7. Where is the Sabbath? We get our self-value from a society that honors you when you're successful, when you're prominent, when you're a star. We overlook you if you're weak or you fail or you're just a little person. Or if you really don't belong. We don't celebrate the wonder of God in you if you don't qualify. You have to qualify to get into the church. We'll deal next week. We're into John chapter 6 next week, and we'll be dealing with the Eucharist. Where does this sense of Sabbath, sense of peace, and a sense of harmony fit into our lives? How do we live the Sabbath? How do you have time? The story is told about this elderly man on his rocking chair on his veranda, and the young people come by. And one young person said, "Old man, what are you doing?" And the old man says, "How long do you have for me to tell you?" We're all short of time. We're stressed. If we're not overcome by work or technology, we're caught in conflicts, the overwhelming anxiety in life, the struggles we have with other people, the divisions we have. My, speak to me about living the Sabbath. God rested on the seventh day and said, "This is part of creation. If you want to follow Jesus Christ and you want to live the wonder of God revealing, you have to include Sabbath in your way of life." That's exactly what comes up in the gospel. They're full of stories about their success and all the things they did. And Jesus says, "Hey, come aside and rest a while so that you begin to understand the true meaning of your ministry." It happens to priests, happens to me. Priests can work all day long. When you get to the evening, you're tired. And what has you missed? You missed your prayer. You missed a time to pray, to be peaceful, to be in the presence of God. You missed the Sabbath. You missed something that's critical to the health, spiritual and physical health of your way of life. You're missing something. Time to listen, time to belong, time to admire, time to take a second look, time to see God revealing. Wonderful. Some years ago, good friends of mine had a home in Newport Beach. This goes back some years. And I used to go down to Newport Beach. I thought Newport Beach was the center of the world. I mean, this fantastic beach. I was down there summer. I was getting a suntan, wanted to look like a Greek god. And I was down there. And we played cards. We played gin rummy. We talked. We relaxed. Everything was carefree. I drank a little bit, by the way. I don't know what it is, 25, 26 years ago, when I was fundraising here to do all this development here. Everywhere I went to talk to somebody who was a major prospect, and I said, "I'd like to discuss." And he said, "Well, let's have a drink first." And I said, "Oh my God, Jesus, if I drink for every stop I make, I'll never find my way home." So I quit for a year. I don't know, 25, 26 years ago. I never went back. Haven't had a drink since, which is fine. It's a better way of life. But it's my way of life. It's my way of following a circadian rhythm in my life. Well, I'm down at Newport Beach, and it's carefree and it's relaxed and wonderful. We had mass every day and then everything. But the most sacred and time I remember the most was in the evening, about 8 o'clock, 8:30. And I'd go out and sit on the beach by myself. And I could feel the earth in my bare feet. I could feel I belonged to creation. And I'd sit there by myself. I hear the voices of people back in the homes behind me. I can look back and see the lights in the homes. I'm here by myself. And I listen to the waves breaking in, going back out, in and out. And I say, why? The energy, the eternal energy of God in creation. And I look up into the heavens and I see the stars and the sky and I say, the immensity of God, the immutable God, the creator God. Sabbath, Sabbath time. I could see what I couldn't see rushing in the economy of a day. Think about Sabbath in your life. Here's a story that won a Pulitzer Prize. It appeared in the Washington Post. It was an experiment. You may have heard about this before. It's a fairly well-known story. It was an experiment that the Washington Post organized, and it was filmed with a hidden camera. It was Joshua Bell. Some of you will know who Joshua Bell is, probably one of the two or three foremost violinists in the world. And he was giving a concert at the Library of Congress. So the Washington Post convinced him to do this experiment. So one morning, he went down into the underground, the train station in Washington. And he had a baseball cap with the Washington Nationals on it and had a t-shirt. And he carried his violin. And he opened his violin and he put the violin case here. It was a Stradivarius, worth about $3.5 million, a violin. And he played some extraordinary classical music, including something very familiar like Schubert's Ave Maria. And he played there for 45 minutes. More than 1,000 people passed by and never stopped. 27 people stopped, and donations in his case for his violin, $32. And one person who recognized who it was gave him $20. So the rest he got from 26 people, he got $12. Nobody saw the miracle. Nobody understood the wonder of the moment. It wasn't a Sabbath moment. Whoever stopped said, "Wow, it's a miracle that I could not see before." Do we miss the miracles of life? The miracle of a child? The miracle of an elderly person who needs you, who is lonely? The privilege of caring for somebody? Do we miss the Sabbath moment of forgiving somebody, being generous? Wow, what a privilege to have a moment where you can be generous. It's a Sabbath. It's a way of life. It's a way to live. It's the only way to live. Living any other way, we're tense, we're wound up, we're tired, we're discouraged, we're caught in conflict, we're anxious. And then we come to the Word of God and say, "Hey, do you want to understand the 6 days of creation? You must rest on the seventh day." It's the only commandment that says, "Remember the Lord's day." Amen.